Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Well, welcome to our show. We're reading a little devotional this morning from Sweet Tea for the Soul, and the title of our devotion is Unwelcoming Committee. Our scripture is found John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. Have you ever walked into a room and felt about as welcome as a hare on a biscuit? When you're the new kid on the block, sometimes people look at you like an invading virus instead of a potential new friend. Cliques are everywhere, in neighborhoods, at work, even in churches. But what can you do when you're the odd one out? If you want fellowship, the first thing you have to do is get to know the fellows on the ship. Dale Carnegie, who wrote the classic book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, said that learning a person's name is key. Remember that a person's name is, to that person, the sweet and most important sound in any language. Next, listening is important. In fact, listening is half of any successful conversation. In short, be friendly if you want to have friends. And our faith check is, in the South, most people are friendly folks who generally view strangers as friends they haven't met yet. Whether you are part of a clique or a nervous newcomer, step out of your comfort zone and extend a hand of friendship. You'll be glad you did. And our saying is, if you wanted to feel at home, you should have stayed there. Well, I don't know about that. That's not maybe so true. At this point, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you for caring enough about us to send your son down to save us. And I ask that you be with a family that is experiencing a breakup in the marriage. I'm sorry about that, Lord. My heart goes out to them, to the wife who's just brokenhearted over it. And be with that and the children that are impacted by that. Lord, I pray for those who might be ill, suffering with viruses and bacterial infections. Just send your healing hand upon them. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk today on the radio. And I ask that you be with our listeners and each one, that they will feel your arms of comfort around them. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Well, we're going to talk a little bit about arts and crafts. And I put the pattern on my Pinterest page, which is MR Gamblin 2. It is it's a craft where you take and copy around your child's feet on a piece of construction paper, and then you hook it to a, well, I don't know that, it has to be kind of like a heavy-duty paper roll, like a packing tape roll of tape, and you can actually make the feet chase you or walk after you. And you could tie this in with, you know, that little song, oh, be careful, little feet, where you walk. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you walk. For the Father up above, he is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you walk. Or you could just do it for fun. You know, it's one of those things that has a lot of STEM connections and all of that. That's my arts and craft idea. And then I'd like to talk a little bit about Bible curriculum again. I know I've given you some ideas for just doing your own Bible curriculum, but I do want to talk a little bit about the commercial stuff. And group publishing puts on a multi-grade evangelical frame of view Bible curriculum. It's a little pricey, but there's two grades per box, but you could easily adapt it to four grades per box. So when you're looking at the price and that you could use it probably for your whole family, it's not that bad. And it has a lot of hands-on Bible things. And remember, the whole goal of Bible curriculum is to build relationships with your children that they will always remember, that they will connect, you know, when they're going through their trials in life. They'll remember when. And I love the remember when. So that's my curriculum recommendation for today. Questions homeschooling families ask. Well, today I have a curriculum question here, and that is, and it's sent in by Karen. My seventh grade son has been doing teaching textbooks for the last few years, but it's starting to get a little iffy. I'm starting to kick around the option of changing curriculum next year. What would you recommend for an eighth grade kid who loves math? Well, I would recommend something like Saxon. If you're the children who love math and really have the aptitude do so well, because it just keeps reviewing. There's enough rigor, though, in each practice set, and you come away an exceptionally good math student. You will score high on your standardized tests. If you are planning to get scholarships into college, that will help there. And I've had students who literally went to college and tested out of all math, didn't have to take any more math for what they wanted to do in college because they did Saxon. So I've done it for many, many years. The thing that I'm doing now, I have students that haven't had that rigor, and some of the other math curriculums are really, they want the child to begin to think mathematically, but they don't have enough of just practicing and things like that, and they are still too young to think mathematically, so they don't give a rip about it. And I've switched them to Saxon, and I've kind of pared it down, so they have to do the practice every day of the new lesson we're learning, and then I just pick 10 problems of the set, so don't make them do every single problem. That's one way of doing it, and I even challenge them. If you can prove that you know how to do this concept, then we'll move on so that they don't have to just do a bunch of busy work. That's one. I mean, there's Matthew C. There's so many math curriculum out there. But by far, the most thorough one is Saxon. I've done schools without using Saxon, schools with using Saxon, and kind of snuck it in there because it wasn't on the approved curriculum list, just because I knew that my students would do so much better at their year-end tests if I'd done Saxon with them. So that's the question to that, or the answer to it, for whatever. I also use ThinkWell Homeschool for my older students, and I'm doing geometry with one student using ThinkWell. And I like that because it's so easy. There's lots of videos to look at and lots of explanations that helps them and helps me too. So if I'm working with another child, then they can still be learning because they have all these built-in little lectures. So that's fantastic. We have another question. This one is a question from Jody, and it says, "We are a foster family. We can have 6 to 10 workers a month come through our home. At our last home visit for two of the kids we had just adopted, the worker said there was a concern brought up at school that she wondered about. Someone told the counselor that we had family secrets, and so-and-so wears a bra, sometimes so-and-so wets her pants, things no one else needs to know about our family. That's why we called them family secrets. My littlest said that we have a couch that no one is allowed to sit on. The worker wanted to know more about this. We told her we only had assigned seating for the dinner table and our 12-passenger van to avoid fighting and to avoid what happens when children race to get a certain spot. Anyway, I told her that everyone was more than welcome to sit wherever they wanted to in the living room. She even took pictures of our couches, and I guess I looked puzzled, so she called the littlest one in. I sort of panicked, as you really never know what may come out of the mouth of this little one. And so the worker asked where she wasn't allowed to sit, and she walked into my room. Then it hit me. My son is between apartments, and we are storing his incredibly expensive leather couch for him. Well, with 10 kids, I had to take matters into my own hands and protect the couch from the kids, as well as the non-declawed wild animals we call our cats. Everyone knows the rules. No getting on this couch because it doesn't belong to us. And the 15 rolls of tape used to mold it will pop open, and we could cause damage to the perfectly imperfect cardboard cover that I made for it. The worker almost died due to my overprotectiveness of this off-limits seating place, and felt a little foolish that the little one had felt the need to share this with the lunch lady at school. I tell you, foster care has sure made me think on a whole new level. The matter was cleared up in an instant as my little one twirled away. She said, "Next time you come, I will tell you what my mom says happens when you swallow gum and it comes out the other end." No doubt she will be our next homeschool kid. So I think this, even though it's not so much a question, is such a good illustration of how families, you know, what is portrayed by a little child is not necessarily true. I have a saying at my school that what happens at home needs to stay at home. Now, what happens at school can definitely go home, but I don't want one child coming and telling about another child wetting their bed or that they got a spanking or anything like that. So I always say, remember, what happens at home stays at home. And my school, with its 13 kids, every kid has at least one or two siblings. So it is a whole conglomeration of homeschooling children that have come together to have a little bit more rigor in their education or socialization. I'm not sure why the parents have sent them here, but I sent them to my school. But I'm happy that they have. You know, don't get me wrong. I love them to pieces. I have another short little question here, and that is, what do you do when one of your children just refuses to do their schoolwork? And I'll tell you, that's, we would like to always be connected with our hearts of our children, but we're not always. Sometimes we just have to say, well, then mommy doesn't want to fix you lunch either. And usually by one meal, you've got it. You've got them back on track. Sounds pretty harsh. You can do something else. Well, mommy doesn't want to let you play on the computer. Or, well, mommy doesn't want to let you go to recess. You know, if you can't do your work, then I don't need to do my work. So today our guest is Bill Reeves. We've talked to him before. I'm so excited because I just feel like I'm beginning to get into the whole crux of the interview. He is the CEO of Educational Media, which is a parent company of K-Love and Air One. And he's just in the process of acquisitioning his own company called Working Title Agency into that group. It sounds like it's really a God thing. And welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Let's have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I have a question I want to ask. We'll be right back. I'm here talking to Elizabeth Urbanowitz, and we're in front of her booth. It's called Foundation Comparative Worldview Curriculum, and I'm going to ask her to explain a little bit and how it would benefit a homeschooling family.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Gamblin. Yes, it's my pleasure to explain this. So what we do is we create comparative worldview and apologetics curriculum for elementary students. So our goal is, at the youngest of ages, to really equip kids to carefully evaluate every idea they encounter and to equip them to understand why we can confidently place our trust in God's Word. So what we have is, we have an online video-based curriculum that has a lesson for each week to be the foundation for every other academic subject that parents take their kids through.
So can you share where my listeners can go to learn more?
Absolutely. If they go to foundationworldview.com, they can find out all the information they'll need on there. And they can also request a free sample lesson.
Fantastic. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Welcome back. As I told you, we have Bill Reeves with us, and we're talking about educational media, his Educational Media Foundation, of which he's the CEO. And also, we've talked a little bit about his previous experience working with Big Ideas, that's VeggieTales, and Fireproof and Soul Surfer, some of those wonderful films that we all have grown to love. Bill, welcome, and maybe we can start this interview with your own children and how you have seen God working in their lives, and did any of them follow your footsteps?
Well, that's a great question. So I have been real fortunate as a homeschool dad to be able to have my children around my career. My wife and I have spent countless amounts of money for them to travel with me through the years, and having owned my own business for a lot of years, we had a lot of flexibility in that regard. So my two oldest, especially, would go to movie sets with me when we were producing film. They'd go to trade shows. And so it gave us a lot of opportunity to be together. My kids love what I do. I think they love some of the perks, the backstage passes at the concerts and the movie red carpets. My oldest actually loves jewelry. She has been in the jewelry business for about 5 years and is aspiring to go work for Tiffany's. Mm. And so she's in what you and I would know as trade school, studying gemology. Chose not to go to college, and we were very supportive of that because we're not always convinced college is the best thing anymore. And then my 20-year-old, is working retail right now and trying to decide what he wants to do. He's the one who most loves what I do and really enjoys being around the creative process of filmmaking. And then my youngest, my 14-year-old, still at home. He's about to start high school, and he's starting to travel with dad and enjoys it. Don't know what he wants to do yet. Sometimes he says he wants to run dad's business, and other times he seems to show interest in other things. But that's the great thing, is we follow what we feel like the Lord's put on our heart, which is to help steer our kids towards what God's wired them to do. That's ultimately what we've been trying to do through our homeschool experience, not indoctrinate them on what we want them to do, but help them to see what God's put on their heart to do.
Yes, and I think the idea that, I think you're probably giving courage to a family that sees a child really wants to do something in trade school, and we think everybody should be, you know, in a profession and a career that has to do with college education.
Yeah, we would, in fact, we told all of our kids early, if you want to go to college, that you have a career that requires that, we'll support you. If you don't, we'll support you. You know, Proverbs, when it talks about train up a child in the way he should go, there's a lot of people who take that verse simply to mean, take him to church, teach him the Bible, make him memorize verses, introduce them to good friends, and their life will turn out okay. And we all know that's just not true. We've seen a lot of people who grow up in that environment and don't turn out well. If you look a little deeper at that verse, and you look back at the original language in the verse, it really is talking about a child having, it's a word picture, the bent, like an arrow. When you pull an arrow back in a bow, that bow has a bent to it, and depending on the bent, that's where the arrow goes. And so every child has a bent, and our job as a parent is to help our children find their bent in life, what God made them to do. And sometimes that's college and sometimes it's not. So our mind needs to be focused on what the Lord wants for our children, not what our society and our social circles and even our church says our children need to do, because college just is not for everybody.
You know, I'm looking at Educational Media Foundation. What are some of the goals that you have for that foundation?
So EMF is primarily a company that's there and exists to reach and share the good news of Christ through entertainment formats. Radio has been their primary one for years, with almost 1,000 radio stations between K-Love and Air One. The gospel's proclaimed all over the United States. In fact, this past weekend, we went on the air in Boston, Massachusetts for the first time. And so we're able to share the gospel through the radio networks. But as you and I know, with radio becoming one of now many formats that delivers music, we have to be able to get into some of those other formats as well, because not every kid, not every adult listens to the radio anymore. So we want to go where they are to take the gospel to them, and that's what this next iteration of EMF will look like over the next 5 to 10 years.
So are you seeking benefactors, or what are you looking for?
Yeah, so as a nonprofit, we're donor-supported, much like NPR or PBS. And so a couple of times a year, we do pledge drives where we use our airwaves to raise money to support us for the next year. Any of your listeners can certainly go online at klove.com or air1.com and make a donation at any time during the year. We certainly welcome that, but we're really not very selly on that sort of thing. We really are about trying to provide the gospel in a unique way through the radio waves. And so the Lord's blessed us. We're financially very stable, and it allows us to be able to take the gospel in a lot of places that a lot of Christians can't always get to.
So you actually had to move or relocate when you took on this position as the CEO of the Educational Media Foundation. That's hard.
That was the hardest part of the decision, and my family and I had to move from our home of 25 years, Nashville, Tennessee, and move to Northern California. We're about an hour from a beautiful place called Lake Tahoe, and so it could have been worse. Obviously, moving to the state of California, it provides a lot of challenges. But when the Lord calls you to do something, you do it, because I remember a story in the Bible about a young man named Jonah that did not listen to the call to go, and it did not work out well for him. But we did keep our home in Nashville, so we have a 20-acre farm south of Nashville that we still own, and we get back to every few weeks, so we still get our Nashville fix.
So as we conclude this show, do you have a saying or a favorite text or a mantra that has kept you going all these years?
You know, everyone seems to gravitate towards a life verse. Mine has been the first chapter of Joshua and the phrase, be strong and courageous. I just was a kid that grew up in a small town in Florida that loved Christian music, and the Lord put a calling on my heart, and I was just naive enough to follow it and had parents that supported it. And God has allowed me to have some incredible opportunities. So as parents, I just want to encourage you to it's never too late to follow your own dreams that God's put on your heart, but also to encourage your children to do the same.
Thank you so much. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.